Jesus Christ, we ask, amen. I know it seems forever that, you know, we've been spending time in Psalm 23, but we're coming to, you know, towards the very end of Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 basically, you know, stresses one thing, that is a special relationship between God and his people. God is the shepherd and we are his flock, the flock of his pasture. The Bible makes it very clear that, you know, a person becomes one of God's sheep by giving his life to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when you do that, you enter into a sheep-shepherd relationship with God. Now, there are all kinds of relationships between God, between sheep and shepherds. And in the scripture, Jesus makes it very clear that, you know, not only is he our shepherd, but he is our good shepherd. Now, Psalm 23 makes some very bold promises. If God is your shepherd, verse 1 says, you know, we shall not be in want. Whatever we need in this life to flourish, God says he'll provide. Not only will he provide, he is committed to to make it happen. And then from verse 2, you know, the psalmist David, you know, starts by fleshing out what it means, you know. What does God mean when he says that, you know, you are not going to be ever in want? So if God is your shepherd, if God is our shepherd, verse 2 says, and the beginning of verse 3 says, you know, we can expect God to restore our souls. God would give us inner resources, inner strength and tenacity. When we are really down and low, when we need encouragement, when we feel that we are all alone, surrounded by pressure, and maybe even danger, God says, you know, do not be afraid. I'm going to revive you, and I'm going to start by with your heart. I'm going to give you inner strength. So restoration of the soul, if God is your shepherd. Now, verse 3, part 2, says that, you know, God is going to give us guidance. He's going to lead us in the path of righteousness. Basically, that what that means is that, you know, God is going to give us not just idea and good ideas, but he's going to give us power and strength to accomplish the things that are good in his eyes. He's going to guide and lead. And verse 4, a few weeks ago, we saw that, you know, God would also commit to protect us. So even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God says, you know, look at me. You do not need to fear. You do not need to be anxious, because I'm going to be there. My rod and my staff, they will protect you. They will comfort you. God will make sure that we are okay. Now today we're going to look at the second last verse of Psalm 23, verse 5. And basically verse 5, the key point is that of provision. God says, you know, in the big things in life, God is committed to provide for his people. Not just to provide for his people, but he's going to do so in an abundant, overflowing way. And this is what he wants us to know and to be certain of. David talks about the shepherd and the flock, but it appears that, you know, he started introducing a new idea, that of a banquet table. You know, God is the host. God is the person who has invited us. And we are his guests, and we are also his VIPs. And there, you know, God at his table and in his, you know, courtroom anoints us with oil, you know, as a sign of honor and distinction. But also at the same time, you know, he shows us that he is a host who is generous. He's going to fill our cup so that it overflows. Now, some people said that, you know, David is not really thinking about a physical table, about a banquet room. The reason why they say is that, you know, because the same Hebrew word is also capable of, you know, giving the meaning that, you know, something big before you, something spread out before you. Now, granted, this is not the usual Hebrew word for table. So some scholars said that, you know, David wasn't thinking so much about a banquet table. He was, you know, looking in front of him, you know, of something huge, something vast, you know, extending into the horizon. Now, for David to be talking about shepherd, about feeding, about pasturing, about God providing, you know, what could that something, you know, that is spreading forth be? Some Bible scholars says that, you know, it probably is, you know, huge pasture lands. Instead of a table, you know, with food on top of it, David is thinking about tableland, you know, tableland pastures, where you would see, you know, in front of you, into the horizon, you know, just green, verdant pastures. But it doesn't matter, you know, which illustration or which answer you prefer. The important thing is that, you know, God says, you know, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide for you, you know, in such a way that, you know, there is no end to my provision. As far as your eyes can see in every direction, you are going to experience, you are going to receive and enjoy my supply. So whether it be tableland or a table, one thing is that God is committed to provide for us. Now, as far as tableland or green pastures for the flock is concerned, it is not an easy task for the shepherd to do his duty. Before spring and summer sets in, you know, early spring, the shepherd has a list of things to do. He has to go up into the mountaintops, you know, to look for possible grazing pastures. And he will make several trips, you know. If you look at some of the written records of, shepherd in the old days, you would find that, you know, there's a whole list of things that they need to do. And they need to make several trips because they know that, you know, comes time to move the animals up to the mountaintops, it's going to be weeks and months up there. So chances for the shepherd to come back down every night or even every weekend to sleep, you know, to visit his family, those chances are very rare. So what do you need to do? You need to make sure that up in those pasture or tablelands, there is a place for the shepherds to spend the night at. You know, so you have to find suitable shelter. At the same time, it may require you to have material to build a tent or a little, you know, simple house there. And also at the same time, you need to make sure that you know which piece of grassland is most suitable for pasturing. And also you want to make sure that, you know, the water hose is, you know, ample supply, clean waters, you know, and that's, if there's any poison, vegetation around, you want to take care of that too. So it is not an easy task for the shepherd to get ready, just so that, you know, the flock can have good feeding ground. So therefore, what it tells us is that, you know, the shepherd, or maybe even David himself, having been a shepherd boy at some time, you know, they would have to go up to, you know, the verdant pasture land, you know, several trips in order to get the place ready so that they could later on bring, you know, the entire flock up there. What does that tell us? Jesus is our good shepherd, and Jesus is telling us that, you know, like the good shepherd, you can be sure that, you know, whatever direction you're heading in, I'm already there. I have gone ahead of you already. And I've gone ahead to prepare a place for you. I've gone ahead, you know, to scout out the entire region for you. This is the same way that God is, you know, doing for each and every one who comes to him. God says that, you know, do not ever be surprised that, you know, when you get to that situation, even though it may be tough and raw, believe me, I'm already here, way ahead of you. So therefore, you know, in the Psalms, Psalms 139, and in also other Psalms, you know, it tells us that, you know, God knows our in and out. God goes ahead of us, and he's not a God who is prone to slumbers. Remember one time when Jesus, you know, having a conversation with Peter? This is, you know, in the Gospel in Luke chapter 22, I believe, you know. In the conversation, Jesus was prepping the disciples for days, you know, difficult days ahead. And in this personal conversation with Peter, David said, Jesus said something very telling. Verse 31, he says, Simon, that is Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I pray for you, Simon, so that your faith may not fail. Jesus knew what was going to take place even before, you know, it took place. And in this situation, he singled out Simon. He was telling Simon, and Simon had no idea what Jesus was talking about. He can remember his words, but he had no idea what Jesus meant. Except that Jesus says that, you know, Simon, when you get to that point, When you are in that kind of predicament, remember my words, I have prayed for you. Before Simon was tempted severely, before Simon, you know, found himself, you know, questioned by the servant girls and other people, you know, surely you must be one of them, one of those people with Jesus. Jesus says that, you know, remember, I have gone before you. I knew this was going to happen to you, and I have prayed for you so that your faith may not fail. Jesus made that very important statement to Simon, and at the same time, you know, he gives us a very important promise. It doesn't matter how tough our situation may be. It doesn't really matter. Jesus says that all that matters is that, you know, remember, I know what you're going through, and I've been there, you know, long before you arrived. And therefore, we can trust the presence and the power of God to deliver. You know, God says you are never alone if you are a believer in Christ. And that is a very important assurance for each and every one of us. So David the shepherd had to go, you know, before he could, you know, have to go up to the high mountain places before he could bring the entire flock there to pasture. And in the same way, God says, you know, I'm the good shepherd, and I do that for you all the time. God prepares the table or the tableland. And then David goes on to say that, you know, another thing that he does is that, you know, he anoints our heads with oil. Now, even though the sheep, you know, is enjoying, you know, the green pasture, but during summer times, you know, there's a lot of things that would happen. They have to be protected against a lot of, you know, say, predators. And some of those predators are nasty, smaller enemies. And one of them, you know, such as fleas and parasites, and one of them in particular, you know, are the snow flies. What happens is that, you know, these are tiny little insects. You know, they would lay their eggs, you know, in the nose of the animal. And when the eggs hatched, you know, they became larva, and then they would bore right, you know, up through, you know, the upper portion of the nose. And then, you know, this movement up the upper portion of the nose is very irritating, very itchy, and very painful to the animal. So if you have opportunity to visit, you know, a sheep farm, and you notice that, you know, certain animals have a tendency of banging their heads, you know, either against other animals, you know, or maybe against the face or rub against the ground, into the ground, look at that, you know, a sheep on the far top right-hand corner. Very likely, you know, it is because the animal is suffering from, you know, the larva inside, you know, his head. And it is a very torturous experience. It doesn't kill you, but it, you know, just drives you bananas. And another problem that, you know, sheep would have is, you know, the development of scabs. It is a kind of skin disease that is contagious, leading eventually, you know, to the loss of hair or wool. And these are very, very difficult to treat, but they are very, very common. And what does a good shepherd do? A good shepherd would find remedies. And the remedies comes in the form of oil mixed with sulfur and spices. You prepare a mixture of that. And then you would smear the mixture, you know, over the entire head of the animal. So in such a way that, you know, the entire head of the animal is covered with sulfur, spices, and oil. And this is what, you know, David in verse 5 is talking about. God protects us, you know. God knows that we need to be, you know, guarded against smaller animals. Put this and the valley of the shadow of death together, you have a very interesting contrast. Valley of the shadow of death. We think about major tragedy, life-threatening situations. But on the high mountaintop, when we're talking about nose flies, we're talking about scabs, we're thinking about, you know, very nasty experiences, but experiences that does not actually kill you. What is God trying to tell us? God is saying that, you know, I'm going to provide for you in such a way that, you know, in the big things of life, when you really, really, really need me, or in the smaller things of life, you know, when things are really bugging you, when you find that, you know, you are so down and so depressed, maybe it doesn't kill you, but it is very difficult for you. In both sets of situations and everything else in between, God says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to help you, and I'm going to supply your needs. So, when King David says, you know, you anoint my head with oil, likely he wasn't thinking about banquet celebration. He wasn't thinking about VIP guests being honored, you know, so that they smell great throughout the entire banquet. He was thinking about another way of God protecting us against, you know, the everyday threats of life. God takes care of us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God takes care of us when we are about to be attacked and infested by, for example, no flies. God says that, you know, you can trust me for that. And we know that in scriptures, God tells us that, you know, every time we need him, he is going to be there for us. So Psalm 68 encourages us to do one thing. He says, you know, praise be to the God who daily bears our burden. We can come before God with our burdens. Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, trouble-hearted. And Philippians 4, in this long verse, you know, in everything by prayer and supplication, give thanks. And the peace of God will lead or guard your life. And Psalm 55, cast your burden on God and he will sustain. You know, these are all the things that a faithful, loving, powerful, good shepherd is committed to do. So therefore, you know, when God rubs oil on our heads and heals us, not only does God care about us when we have real danger, real difficulty, you know, when we are really messed up, but God is also telling us that, you know, I love you. I love you even in, you know, the tiny little situations. And because of that, our cups runneth over. We can come before God, praise him and trust him that God, you know, in things big and small, I want to learn how to trust you more, how to know you deeper, and also how to follow you farther. Psalms 81 verse 10. 81 verse 10. Let's read this verse together. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide. You feel it. Is that a verse? Yes. Okay, let's read it. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. Or, you know, in other words, you can say God is asking us, challenging us to open, you know, our arms and our hands wide so that, you know, we can receive all the blessings he wants to give to us. God is telling us that, you know, he's that kind of a God. The kind of God who leads us through valley of the shadow of death and the kind of God who trusts us. And therefore, what is our response? Our response is that, you know, do we know this God intimate enough, obedient enough as to trust him? When we select a career, when we build a relationship, you know, when we lead our family, when we do, you know, our personal stuff, do we commit enough of our life to him? Because he's waiting there for us to make that kind of response to him. Verse 5 is all about provision. Providing for his flock, providing for his kingdom people, so that they can say, because the Lord is our shepherd, therefore, we shall never be in want. Want to do one last exercise together. Remember I was, encouraging us to memorize Psalms 23. So we have covered 5 verses. We have one more to go. So today in closing, let us together, if you can, you know, let's recite Psalms 23, verse 1 to verse 5 by hearts. But if you need to, you know, take a look at the screen, go ahead. Are we ready? Are we ready?
Yes.
Good. All right. Let's begin with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be want. He restores my souls. So righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare in the presence of my enemies, and my cup runneth over. Okay, good. Yeah, let us pray. Father God, we thank you that your word, no matter how familiar, would never return to you empty-handed. We pray, O Lord, that you would take away the knowledge and the wisdom of man. And Father God, drill your message into each and every one of us, especially, Father God, in my heart. Because, O Lord, we want to see your word overflowing with abundance in your people. So we pray, Father God, that when times, you know, when we tend to forget that you are taking care of us, that you have gone before us, we pray, O Lord, that in your own amazing ways, remind us and build up our faith again, so that we may come to you with praise and adoration. For indeed, Lord, you are great, greater than we can ever imagine. So because of your greatness, we once again recommit ourselves to you, and we want to praise you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. And as part of our response to the love and greatness of God, let us bring our tithes and offering to him. And let us also give, you know, of our hearts, because that is what God is after.